Freak. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 56 of Feel Good Friday, FGF 56. Keep this train a chugging along. More episodes for you. I had a slow start to 2023, but I'm back on it. I have a great guest today, Brian Collins. I'm excited to officially call him a recurring guest. I remember I've had him on before, so if you aren't familiar with the episode, or if it's been so long that you don't remember it, it's been about a year. A little less than a year. It was springtime. But I have Shudder, which is basically horror Netflix. And they have this special kind of docu-series-ish type of thing. It's called Behind the Monsters. And it goes into the origin stories and the rises of Michael Myers, Candyman, Chucky, Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, and Pinhead. And I love that idea already. And then the people they have on, I'm listening to them talk and I'm like, oh, these people love horror as much as I do, probably more. And there was I had to watch it twice because first of all, I loved it. And then second, I wanted to go back and like get all the names of everyone. And the coolest dude on there was Brian Collins, in my opinion. That's, you know. And so I reached out to him and he was super cool about it. And he said yes to be on the podcast. I had a lot of fun the first episode and finally got him back today. I was trying to get him on around last Halloween, but that is his busy season. It is like trying to book Santa around Christmas. I don't know if that's actually an accurate analogy, but you get what I'm saying. So, yeah, not easy. It's like trying to book Pitbull in the summer. He's probably already booked. Is Pitbull still a thing? Probably not. Another bad analogy. Fuck. All right. 0-2. I'm going to leave my, you know, take my loss. You get what I'm trying to say, though. He was hard to book around spooky season. So I got him today in February. And I'm not mad at it because a lot has happened since the last time we talked in the horror world. And I haven't had a horror episode in a while, probably since October. So I'm excited to get out some thoughts that I have about whether it's Megan or Evil Dead or what, you know, I'm excited to have a horror conversation again. I don't have them too often. A lot of the time I'll post the trailer for a horror movie that's coming out and I'll get like 5 likes and, you know, that's it. Like no one gets, there's not a lot of people in my life that get as excited about horror movies as I do. So it's good to have these conversations, especially with someone who is a true, true lover of the genre. So I'm excited to have Brian on the podcast today. Like I said, just a super cool dude. Great, great, great hang. Although I haven't technically hung out with him. So that probably isn't accurate either. So I'm just going to stop saying things. Because if I stop saying things, then I can no longer say things that aren't accurate, you know? That's logic, right? That adds up. So on that note, I'm just going to cut this intro off now. Fuck it, right? Short intro, and then we'll get right into the interview with Brian Collins. We'll do that. We'll do the damn thing. And then after that, we'll wrap it up. Burrito style, mummy style, since it's a little spooky today. Well, a little hint of spooky season in the air on this one. A little splash of spooky in this episode. He probably hates the word spooky, but he strikes me as a guy who the term spooky season, he's like, yeah, fucking, I'm over it. That's just how he strikes me. But I think that's a good thing. I think that there are some people who go too heavily into it, and I'm probably one of those people. So maybe I should pump the brakes a little. Maybe I should take some notes, pump the brakes a little. Anyway, all right. Enough of just me rambling. No one wants to hear that. You've heard that plenty over the entire time you've been listening. So let's get into it for the 9th or 10th time. Brian Collins, Here we go, baby. Welcome to episode 56. All right, everybody, and we're back with Feel Good Friday. I am here with a very special guest, now a recurring guest. Very excited to say that. Brian Collins, like I said before, he's a horror author, critic, blogger, aficionado, and very happy to have him here. I haven't done a horror-based episode in a while, so I have a lot to get off. Brian, how you been?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good. I think last time we talked, I listened back to the episode and to show how long it's been, Scream 6, just like it hadn't even started filming yet. And then they got it done really quick, obviously, because it was only about a year ago, but still, you know, it's been a while, so a lot has happened. So I'm going to get right into it, if that's cool, because there were some questions last time that I wanted to ask that I ended up not asking. I found out about you on Behind the Monsters from Shudder, which I watched that again too, partly because I wanted some ideas, also because I really do love that little series. I think it's so cool. I'm hoping they do another one. Do you have any knowledge if they're doing a season two of that?
I haven't heard anything myself. I mean, I would assume if there was a season two, I would hope they would get different guests anyway. So I probably wouldn't even be a part of it. You know, maybe a couple people of higher renown than myself could be invited back. But, you know, I think getting new perspectives in these things is what, you know, keeps them engaging. And you don't want to see the same people kind of talking over and over again. So, you know, I would love to come back if they wanted me. But as a fan, I wouldn't be too disappointed. I'd be like, all right, cool. I get to hear what somebody else thinks as opposed to listening to myself. I know what I think most of the time. But if they do ask me back, I probably wouldn't even hear about it until like the week before.
Yeah.
They'd be like, hey, we're doing, you know, because probably, I don't, if memory serves, they didn't announce it yet when we shot it.
Okay.
I think they waited until they had like pretty much everybody shot, because those things take a while to edit, because, you know, we all, the guests, we kind of babble for like 2 hours, and it's up to poor some bastard to like weed through all that and find little nuggets, you know, to take out for the, you know, to quickly say something. And so I think they usually wait until they have like a pretty good idea of who's going to be in it. They get everybody shot.
Uh-huh.
And then they announce it so that they're not announcing it so far in advance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then if I was at, this isn't me being sly, I really don't know, but if I was at back, I'd probably be under some sort of NDA or whatever until they announced it.
Gotcha.
I would probably just say it anyway, because I don't believe in those things.
Right. I gotcha.
So we for what?
Right. How did they come? Did they just straight up email you to ask to be on the first one, or was there any?
Yeah, Phil Nobile Jr. from Fango is the editor in chief over at Fangoria. He was one of the producers on that.
Mm-hmm.
I forget if he's listed as the director. He was the one that's actually interviewing me.
Okay.
You know, the roles on those things are very differently defined than like a traditional feature.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I can't remember what his exact role was. I think he was just the producer. Mm-hmm. You know, I've known him for years. We've worked together back, you know, at Birth, Movies, Death, which was originally Badass Digest.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever there's like an LA sort of thing, he'll usually, you know, hit me up if it's something that's, you know, relevant to what I do.
Gotcha.
He's good like that. I actually met him, it was actually before, I think when we hadn't started Birth, Movies, Death yet. He was directing a Halloween documentary.
Okay.
And he knew somebody else that was also in it, a mutual friend. And he was like, and the friend was like, okay, I'll come in, but if you're doing Halloween, you need this guy. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how I met him. I think that was like a year, maybe 2 years before Birth, Movies, Death, Badass Digest started.
Gotcha.
So yeah, he's been around a while.
When you did Behind the Monster, was there any nervousness like while you were giving your takes, or was this just like another day at the office, like, you know?
Depending on the subject. I mean, I could talk for hours about Michael Myers or Jason. Pinhead is one that I'm not as familiar with. I mean, I've seen all the movies multiple times, and the good ones case, which is good ones there are, but I don't dive into that as much as I do Jason and Michael Myers. Trying to think of some of the other, was Candyman in there?
Candyman, Chucky, yeah. Freddy,
Chucky, and okay. So yeah, most of those guys, like, you know, I've seen all the movies, of course. I definitely have thoughts here and there, but I mean, you could probably tell when you're watching, you know, which ones I had more things to say about, because you won't see me as much in those other ones. Or maybe vice versa. Maybe I ramble so much during Halloween that they're like, I'm not using any of this. I can't find a coherent thought in this 20 minutes stream of conscious babble. But you said this one nice thing about Candyman. We can use that. But no, I'm not usually nervous, because it's mostly just like, because I've edited something like that before, so I kind of get what you're supposed to be doing, and I know going in that, like, at most 5% of what I say is going to end up in the thing.
Yeah.
So there's like a sort of weird, what's the right word, not freedom, but it's a freeing feeling to know that, like, all right, it's okay if I babble a bit, if I start talking and I don't end up at a point, because everybody's going to be doing that. I know that from when I edited one and had to keep listening to that. And yeah, it's not great. You wish everything was just like a nice, concise point, but it's just part of the thing, because they don't ask you what's your favorite movie. You know, like, they'll say, like, what do you think about the role of police in the Friday the 13th series? Something like that.
Yeah.
And then you just start, your mind starts churning. You're like, all right, well, there's that one, you know, the great cop in part six. And then I just forgot this guy. And then, you know, you just kind of start babbling, and as more thoughts come to your head on that topic. And then they whittle that down. They find the stuff to say. So, you know, it's you get used to it. I was probably more nervous the first time, just by that Halloween thing that Phil directed. And I'm more comfortable with Phil too, because I just know him. So I'm just looking at him, and I'm just like, this is just me and Phil talking anyway. You know, I'm just babbling. And he's you know, trying to stay awake while I babble before he says something. It's funny because Phil's on the other side of it. I've just been writing about the new Texas Chainsaw Blu-ray, the 4K Blu-ray, Dark Sky's putting out next week. And there's a new documentary in it, and Phil is on the other side. He's the one being asked the questions. And I'm like, oh, he's so much better at this than me. And I just keep trying to tell myself, like, he probably rambled a lot too. He probably had some fucking go nowhere sentences that they had to, they had to trim. But he's coming off really good. But I'm glad he got to be in the hot seat for a bit.
Speaking of that new Texas Chainsaw Blu-ray, I saw your post on Instagram about the face on the light at the table. That was a really cool notice. Like, me too. I never noticed it.
I don't know how I've never noticed it, because then, like, I'm looking at it, and there's, like, literally, it might have been cropped on VHS, but, like, I've obviously seen the movie a number of times on DVD, but there's definitely a shot that's, like, literally just the lamp with her next to it. But I definitely never noticed that it's a two-sided.
Yeah.
So maybe I did notice that there was a face at some point, just didn't register as much or whatever. But I never noticed it's actually two faces. And on one angle, you can actually see the contours of the face. You can see the nose sticking out and everything, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, I attribute that, like, it's not that you can't see those things on DVD, maybe even VHS, although I doubt it would be VHS. It's just that, like, when you get a new transfer of a film, especially when you've seen a bunch, you're not going to be, like, just watching the movie the way you normally do. You're going to be kind of like, look at all the grass that you can tell over there. Look at, you know, like, it's just weird. You start fixating on strange little details. Your eyes are kind of, at least my eyes, are just kind of, like, darting around the frame at all times.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I need to fully focus on the movie again. But then, plus this commentary, so I'm going to be rewatching it over and over again anyway. But there's, you know, it's just like this. You're looking at that stuff because you're specifically engaging with it as a new version of a film you've seen. I'm not saying that those things are invisible in previous versions, or that I've never paid attention to the movie before. It's just that, like, you start soaking in that stuff as each time it gets upgraded. You know, same with anything. I mean, Halloween is a better example. I definitely studied Halloween. It's my favorite movie. I've seen it a million times.
Right.
But when I got that 4K, I'm like, oh, wow, I can read that street sign. You know, it's not like, why would I be looking at the street sign before? Well, it's because it's a new transfer, and I'm kind of curious of how sharp it really is.
Right. So if they did do a season 2, and just hypothetical, they come to you and they're like, Brian, what 6, I think it was 6 they had in the first one. So if they said, what 6 should we have in season 2? Like, what 6 slashers, whatever. Who would you have in it? I think Ghostface was one that got missed in the first one.
Yeah.
But other than that, Leatherface comes to mind. What about, who comes to your mind?
Jigsaw.
Okay. Dark
Kramer.
Ghostface, Leatherface, Jigsaw.
I mean, you know, you're getting into some shitty stuff.
Right.
You know, Toby the Paranormal Demon or something. You know, like, it's just like they've moved away in recent years from that sort of concept, the horror hero. I mean, yeah, they bring back Ghostface, they bring back Myers, but they haven't created too many new ones. I mean, even Jigsaw's kind of a weird anomaly. I mean, he's not really even in most of the movies.
Right.
But then they start going back, and they just, sequels weren't really a thing outside of those Hammer and Universal franchises, where, like, you know, they're constantly changing actors, and it might be cool to just tackle, like, you know, like, sort of, like, underappreciated monster, like a Gollum.
Okay.
You know, like, something like that. That might be a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Just to open that world up a bit. But, I mean, that could very well why. Hasn't been a season 2 announced yet, so they just not have enough.
That's fair.
You know, maybe they just want to stick to, you know, the Jasons and Freddys of the world, and there really just isn't that many left. It's up to you, viewers, listeners, to start creating new icons.
I mean,
you can do like Victor Crowley or something. He's been in 4 movies, but, you know, horror fans know who Victor Crowley is. He does not have that same sort of instant recognition. You know, if you show my grandmother a picture of Jason, she'll probably know who Jason is. If I show Victor Crowley, she might be like, it's the same guy. You know, I mean, you can go like Pazuzu or something, you know, like a known entity that's a villain. Satan.
Christopher Walken in the pro. That would be a hell of an episode.
There's iconic roles and there's iconic franchises, but the 6 they picked were very much of that action figure ready, you know, horror hero kind of thing.
Right.
And within that group, there isn't too many more. So it's like season 2 has to start branching it out.
Yeah.
I think.
Fair enough. In season 1, the Halloween episode, you say Halloween is Well, I know you said it's your favorite, like, just a few minutes ago. But it's better than any Friday the 13th movie, any Nightmare movie. Can you just tell me why, like, why the love for Halloween? Like, I get, like, I get it, but I'd like to hear you, like...
I think the reason I latched on to it more than the others as a kid, it was just easier to identify with for me, because it was a real thing happening in suburbia. You know, Jason was out in the woods, campers and stuff, which isn't something I was super familiar with. I mean, gone camping, but, you know, that's not, you know, I didn't go to summer camp, you know what I mean?
Right.
I never went, like, on a cabin, you know, rental with all my friends for the weekend, you know, that sort of stuff. Freddy was suburbia, but it was, you know, in the supernatural realm. It was, you know, even as when I started, as like eight,
right.
I knew it couldn't actually happen, you know? I knew my dreams couldn't kill me. They would have by then, at that point. but Michael Myers was, I mean, at this point, this is before, you know, called Nonsense, Part 6 and everything else. He was just a regular guy, you know, for lack of a better word, in a town very much like the one I grew up in, which is, you know, a little, you know, small town in Massachusetts. So it was just easier to latch in, you know, in that way that a lot of the horror I had seen at that point, I couldn't. Not that I didn't enjoy them or whatever, but I think it was in a way easier for me, because people were always like surprised that I started watching horror as so young.
Yeah.
But I think it was because that I had no real identification with a lot of the ones I was watching. You know, like I saw The Thing when I was 7. Well, what about The Thing? Could I possibly have been like, oh yeah, that could be me? Like, no, it could not. I would very much never be in any of this situation. So Halloween was probably one of the first ones I saw that was like, oh, like horror movies are something that could happen, you know? Not that it was based on a true story or whatever, but especially that first movie, it was very much possible, you know, kind of thing. So I think it just kind of took in me that way. And just over time, you know, I started appreciating the craft behind it. I became a fan of John Carpenter, and I love pretty much everything he's done. You know, and then that just makes it like the sort of the pinnacle, you know, for me. I mean, maybe The Thing is technically a better film across the board in terms of filmmaking prowess and you know, the script and obviously the effects and everything else. But for me personally, it's Halloween. Like, that's the one I gravitate to.
Yeah. Do you have a least favorite of the Halloween franchise, like from 78 through last year, Halloween Ends? Like, is there one?
Oh, my least favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, Resurrection, Fire and Away.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's just unwatchable to me. Because I love the series, I've owned it 3 or 4 times because of box sets or whatever. And I try to watch it every few years. I'll be like, all right, let me give it another chance. Maybe it's not that bad. And I'm just like, it's just brutal to me. I just can't. So, like,
start to finish, no.
The easiest comparison for Friday the 13th is what I've said before, is that, like, yes, Halloween is my absolutely favorite movie. And I don't think any of the Friday the 13ths are as good as Halloween 1. But none of the Friday the 13ths are as bad as Halloween Resurrection.
That's good.
So I think overall, the Friday the 13th is just like a better franchise because it never sunk to that low.
Fair.
It's where, I mean, my least favorite Friday is probably Part 7.
Uh-huh.
But I can watch it. I mean, I've hosted screenings of Part 7 multiple times. I don't know if I could get through Resurrection if I was hosting it. If they told me I had to host it, I might be like... I might get just like super drunk, come do the intro, and then just leave. You know?
Better be like, a big check.
Fun, I guess. I'm out.
Right.
Yeah, and Zombies first remake, I don't have much affinity for, but I can at least get through it. You know, same with Friday the 13th New Blood, where it's like, I don't really like this, but I can watch it. I can sit there and engage with it. I just can't do it with Resurrection. I find it interminable.
Was it the Busta Rhymes Kung Fu?
It's everything. I mean, by that point, enjoyed Busta Rhymes Kung Fu at that point, the first time I saw it, because it was like, this movie's so bad, at least this is something. I mean, the kids were all awful. They were getting everything wrong, you know, as far as like being a sequel, they were getting things wrong. There was that guy that was like in the institution, which is probably the best part of the movie too, is the institution sequence. Because at least it feels something like a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
You know, because Jamie Lee's there, and it's, you know, the institution, whatever. But there's a patient that's like obsessed with serial killers, and he sees Michael Myers, and he starts dishing his facts, and they're all wrong. And I'm like, this is a great way to start off, guys. Like, way to get us on the right foot here. And then, like, you know, just like the stupid internet subplot. You know, the concept was just didn't work. And,
right.
Yeah, there's just nothing about it that I found even remotely. It's like it doesn't even pass as a like a whatever slot. Like I just watched one this morning, last night, and this morning called "Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight."
It's oh yeah,
a Polish slasher, and it's all everything in it is stolen from another movie. They steal a kill directly from New Blood. They steal a kill directly from Wrong Turn 2. You know, there's a Randy type guy who's just constantly talking about movies. You know, everything in that movie is swiped from something. But I didn't hate it. I was, you know, I was like, ugh, whatever. But I was like, fine. Like, that to me is like the lowest it should go, where I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm not going to remember anything about it tomorrow. When they actually start getting me mad, you know, that's a problem. And that's what Resurrection is.
Yeah. So Halloween ends. Last time we talked, it was way before that came out. That received a lot of hate. I think now at this point, it's almost polarizing. What was your opinion about that?
I liked what they were trying to do. I don't think it all worked.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've really come out around this idea that I had that if it was the middle part of the trilogy, I think it would have worked better. Okay. I think they wanted to take that sort of weird swing, you don't do it in the finale.
Yeah.
You do it in the middle and have, you know, Michael all fucked up from the end of 2018. Then he introduced this kid, Corey, and have him do that adventure as Michael is, you know, weak or whatever. And then Michael kind of gets his mojo back by killing Corey or whoever else at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And that sets the stage for his like ultimate form, for lack of a better word. And then you do what they basically do in Kills, which was, well, Kills. There's 31 kills in that movie. Which
yeah.
Is the most of any of the films in the franchise. It was like a complete sort of bloodbath. And, you know, people didn't love that one either for some, you know, this or that reason. But I think if that was the finale, I think people would just be like at least super pumped for it with all the action. And, you know, then you lead to the face off with Laurie and Michael, but like that movie, and ends the way it is, it almost felt like an afterthought to have them do their final thing. So it wasn't that it was a bad movie, I think it was a bad finale.
Okay.
But I didn't dislike it. I enjoyed most of it. I watched it a few times. There's a lot in that, like, I love her and Will Patton, you know, their little teenage shy romance stuff. I mean, that stuff's all great. But on a character level, I think it works right. I think it's Jamie Lee's best performance in the entire series.
Okay.
She's really, really good in that movie, I think.
Yeah.
It's just that the plot keeps having to leave her on the sideline, you know, for this or that reason. Maybe it would have worked better if Corey was a character from one of the other movies. Somebody had the good idea that, like, what if it was Julian, the little kid that's being babysat in the first movie?
Oh yeah.
Like what if it's 5 years later? It's 5 years later now, 4 years, whatever it was, and now he's a babysitter and he's still kind of freaked out by the idea of Michael Myers and accidentally kills this kid. Like that could have been really cool. And I think it would have. There's a lot of ways that they could have smoothed over the issues that people had with it, I think. And they just, for whatever reason, you know, it was COVID, maybe because COVID stuff, they couldn't shoot everything they wanted, or, you know, budget, or whatever it was like everything was kind of there, but just not gelling the best way. I mean, it's a really tough movie to get into, so like the first half hour or so, you're like, what is this movie? What is going on? Where's Michael? Who's this kid?
Right.
Why does everybody seem so different? Why is Lori baking a pie instead of being sad about her daughter? Like, it felt like we missed a movie in between, you know, and bringing us up to speed. Could have, you know, it was like just really awkward, I think. And again, I think if it was the middle part, it would have been fine. Like, all right, so at the end of 2018, they think they've beaten Michael. Lori's kind of readjusting. She's, you know, she's repaired her relationship with Judy Greer.
Mm-hmm.
Things are kind of getting normal, but there's this new kid in town, and he's kind of like a new Michael. And, you know, it's starting to fracture Lori and what's her name, Karen? Judy or Karen, right? Judy and Karen smothered our relationship with Allison caught in the middle because she kind of likes this kid.
Yeah.
And then it comes to an end at the end, and you can even still kill Judy Greer at the end of that in the middle, too. And that's what sets Lori off for, like, this final sort of Terminator, you know, as, you know, Michael's destroying the town. She's hell-bent on stopping him, you know, action-packed finale. I think people would have been more receptive to it.
Okay.
But I'm not the writer. it's easy to sit here and tell them what they should have done. I don't know what that, you know, how many demands they had to meet. There's, like, you know, 5 million producers on those movies, and I'm sure every one of them has an idea, so.
Well, to switch gears, a movie that I've heard pretty much only good things about, and I haven't looked too much into it, Megan. Would you...
Which one?
Megan. The...
Oh, Megan, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know, I got something in my throat. Which you said you went to the premiere for that. What did you think about that one? What were the final thoughts?
It's fun? I just actually just got an email. There's an unrated version on Peacock, so maybe I'll watch the unrated one, because I did feel it felt a little neutered. Like, it kept wanting to be an R-rated movie and wasn't.
Right.
And I think, and it's unfortunate that it just had some of its thunder stolen by the Child's Play remake, which was also like the sort of AI going haywire kind of thing.
Right.
Because I didn't really like that movie too much. And I probably would have liked Megan even more if I hadn't already seen that Child's Play remake, because it did feel at times like, I'm like, I've kind of already seen stuff like this.
I feel like now with the Chucky TV show, like, that remake didn't even need to happen, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, just a big old waste of everybody's time. But the, you know, it was good. The doll, the effects for the doll were great. The, it was funny. It was very funny. And I think I liked it more as a comedy than a horror movie, which I think might be good for a second viewing, because now I'm prepared for that.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted more killer doll action, and the movie wasn't really concerned with that too much until, like, the last 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So going in, or second view, especially now it's unrated, I'll get my little, you know, extra snippets of gore, but also, you know, go in knowing that, yeah, this isn't a body count movie, this is a comedy. You know,
right.
I mean, there's a line from the guy, Alison Williams' boss, I can't remember his name, he's like pitching the doll to investors or whatever, and he's like, and every kid will want one, even kids whose parents aren't dead. And then there's a part where she's like, Allison was talking to, like, the cop. The cop's like, found the body of the neighbor or whatever.
Yeah.
He says something, and he starts laughing, and then he's like, sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I'm like, oh man, I love stuff like that. The just weird, dry, dark humor is always a good way to win me over. So yeah.
Now, the people are talking from the threads that I have seen. Is Megan vs. Chucky going to be the new Freddy vs. Jason?
No. I don't know.
Should we get that?
I think as the Phase 4 and now 5 stuff is showing, people are getting kind of tired of, like, movies feeling like homework for another movie.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know if we're going to get too many crossovers coming up. Because if you're a fan of one thing, that means you gotta become a fan of the other just to be on board.
Right.
And there's just so much stuff out there now, man, that, you know, the time to do a crossover was back in 2003.
Yeah.
When we didn't have much else to watch besides the Friday the 13th and Freddy movies. Now we have streaming services that all premiere 8 million movies a week. And it's just absolutely impossible to keep up with everything. I guarantee you there are Chucky fans that aren't even aware there's a Chucky show, or at least if they are aware, they haven't watched it yet, because there's just so much stuff out there fighting for our attention at all times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you announce Chucky versus Megan, and you get people like, who? What the hell's Megan? And that's why I was like, Chucky, you mean Mark Hamill? Right, that's Mark Hamill in the remake, right? Actually, they call him something else anyway. Didn't they call him, was it Buddy?
Yeah, I think it was Buddy.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's probably a fun idea for investors. You know, I can't say it'd be like, oh, hell yeah, that'd be great. It's going to be puns. And I don't know. I'm less and less excited about this sort of stuff as I get older. I just want something, you know. I still love my sequels, but I love the sequels to the stuff I've already been into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, there's few movies I see nowadays that I'm like, you know, clamoring for more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I enjoyed Megan, but I'm not like, oh, I'm Megan 2? Great. You know, or potentially going to fight Chucky? Awesome. Like,
yeah.
You know.
I got you.
Enjoy it. Yeah, I'm getting older too. It's, I mean, this stuff is for, you know, the TikTokers. So if they're excited, then, you know, make the movie. Not every movie has to be for me.
Yeah,
fine.
I got you. Okay.
That's the one nice thing about there being so much shit to watch is that if, you know, like I'm thinking like 19 in the 90s, like before Scream, when there was like two horror movies a year from the studios. You know?
Yeah.
I was a kid, I didn't have a car, I didn't have the internet really back then. I was just starting. So I couldn't import stuff. So it was like, what I got to see for horror was whatever was in theaters and whatever direct-to-video stuff my video store wanted to stock, right?
Right.
And so it's like 1994, big horror movies in 94, Interview with the Vampire, Wolf, and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. You know, those movies all in common, they're all for adults. I was 14. I didn't care a shit about any of them, but it's like, but I watched them because I had nothing else to watch.
Sure.
Horror-wise, that was new. So nowadays, if a new horror movie comes out and it's not checking off any of my boxes, then fine, I'll find something else to watch. It's pretty easy. You know, I clicked around, my Shutter queue is like 40 titles deep at this point, you know? And again, they're always adding new stuff. So, you know, it's fine if they make a movie that I don't care about. As long as somebody does. As long as they're not spending, you know, $30 million on a movie literally nobody wants.
True. So I'm getting the notification. Got just over 5 minutes left. I get that on my end. But I wanted to throw a hypothetical your way. And I heard this one the other day. I thought it was pretty interesting. If you were locked inside a mall and you had to survive 24 hours... If you do, you get like $1 million or something big like that. And you get to choose one of three things that you're locked inside the mall with. It's either the alien, xenomorph, predator, or T-1000. Which one are you choosing?
I guess the predator, he seems like he's easier to hide from. You know, somewhere in this mall, there's a bathroom or...
Right.
Something I can make myself cold. Put myself with cold water. Get some dirt. Get some potting soil from one of the department stores, Target or whatever.
There you go.
You know, and just kind of hang out. You know. I guess. Yeah, he seems. Like the T-1000 could be anything.
True.
The alien just always seems inescapable.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's just so quick, and the acid blood and everything. It just seems like the last one I'd rather, definitely the last one, it would be the alien. So it would either be Predator or T-1000. I think I'd go with Predator.
For sure. I was.
He wouldn't see me as much of a threat too. So I got that going for me. He'd be like, he looked at me like the way he looks at the pregnant lady. Like no. He's like, this is not a challenge.
Yeah. Thoughts on the Evil Dead trailer? Well, Evil Dead Rise.
It looked good. It was just like, I feel the same way I did with the remake, at least based on the trailer, is that it's missing, it's trying to get back to the spirit of the first movie, which is my favorite one, but that's due in part to the low budget ingenuity of the first film.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the fact that it's just scarier than the other two, because I don't really like Army of Darkness much. Two is a pretty good balance of the horror and the comedy, but even one has some lightly funny stuff,
right.
You know. And I think the remake and this other one are just like going too far into the horror direction, which isn't like a bad thing per se, but it's not Evil Dead to me in a way.
I got you.
I would almost rather they have like a contest, like a Project Greenlight style thing, where Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell and the other guy, Rob Tappert, where they like have kids make short, you know, little, not like little kids, but like teens or, you know, college students,
right.
Film students, like do a short film, you know, impress them. Whatever one wins, they give the kid, you know, $500,000 or whatever the equivalent inflation was or whatever they spent on the first movie, and let them just go off and make something. And every year they just do a different one, and it's the same basic concept, you know, of a book unleashing evil in the woods, or, you know, wherever that location has to be. It doesn't even have to be the woods, and just see what they come up with. Because this, I don't know, it just seems like it's really, really slick.
Okay.
And I'm like, slick and Evil Dead don't match to me. There's something really charming and admirable about how obviously low budget the first one was, and how they, the ways they worked around that. I feel if I'm watching it, I'm like, they have a blank check for VFX.
Yeah.
Not again. Not that it's bad. It's just a weird use of the license to me.
I got you.
But yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. All right, so just over a minute. Brian, thank you so much for doing this. Sorry I kept bugging you to do it. I know I was bummed around Halloween I wasn't able to get you. I know that's your busy time of the year.
Yeah, it's impossible.
But was there anything you wanted to plug real quick? I know last time you had another book coming out. Anything going on there?
When did we last talk? I know you got,
It was halfway to Halloween.
That was last year, halfway to Halloween?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was already out. Yeah, the same book. Yeah, I haven't had another one since. I do have something in the newest Fangoria that just came out.
Okay.
About, I can't remember what it was about. Shit. I think it was about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I can't remember now. Shit.
Well,
it came out, and I'm in it. I know that much. Oh, it's My Bloody Valentine. My Bloody Valentine. That's that one. Yeah. It's the new issue with Leatherface on the cover, but I'm doing, that's why I did do a Leatherface article in the last issue.
Yeah.
This one has Leatherface on the cover, but I did My Bloody Valentine.
Gotcha. Alright. Well, I'll keep an eye out for that. I'll let, you know, listeners know to keep an eye out for that. And yeah. That was Brian Collins, everybody. Interview got cut off a little bit short. Damn it. This happens all the time. I hate it. But it is what it is. Such is life. Things aren't going to go perfect, you know? But I'm glad that he gave me the time to do that today. I really like talking to him. I think he's a true horror scholar, in my opinion. A scholar of the genre, if you will. So talking to him, being able to pick his brain, super cool, getting his opinions on things, love hearing it. I kind of look up to him. Like, I would love to, I tried at first to make this a horror podcast. I called it the Heebie Jeebies. I wanted to be known for horror, but then I realized that my mind, there's so many things going on that I want to talk about that there's no way I could keep it to just horror. So that's why I enjoy having these episodes where I can talk about horror, the whole episode. And then the next episode, I can get right back to talking about sports or, you know, just current events, other types of movies, and like anything, that's the point. That's why I do this. And yeah, but I appreciate Brian for being on, giving me his time. I know it's not easy in this life, and he's got a kid, so I get it. Also not easy to make time when you have a family, and yeah, means a lot. So second time he was on, recurring guest. Hopefully I'll have him on again. We'll see. Can't get him on Halloween. Said at the end of the episode, it's impossible. But we'll see if I can get him on maybe in the summer, a little bit before Halloween. We could do a pre-spooky season episode. Pre-spooky special. Have like Brian and Brucker on and some other people who like horror. I could reach out and maybe make some new friends or something. I don't know. We'll see. All right, everybody. I'm going to call it quits for now. Wrap it up like a burrito in just a little bit. This is a horror episode. I guess we could wrap it up like a mummy. It's not necessarily spooky season yet, but you know, it's always spooky. It's spooky season. It's beach season. It's all sorts of things in my mind. Just happy to be here. All right, y'all. We'll be back. Don't you worry. Wrapping it up. Mummy. Style. Like a mummy. Wrap it up like... Okay. You get it. All right, everybody. We are going to wrap up episode 56. Just like a old school mummy. Going to wrap this thing up. Put it in a tomb and just kind of leave it there until someone just reads some old Egyptian scroll, and then, you know, some hieroglyphics off the wall, and then it's like, boom, now we have this mummy that has risen from the dead, and he's out to kill everyone, and probably, you know, fuck some shit up. What, you know, things that mummies do, get revenge on their enemies, stuff, you know, stuff like that, typical mummy things. But that was a great interview with Brian. I really enjoyed it. Again, 2 for 2. But also, 2 for 2, there are more questions that I want to ask him. I really need to get pro. I do. I'm just a broke son of a bitch. That's my only excuse. But glad that he took the time to do that. As far as when we were talking about Behind the Monsters, if there was a season 2, who would be on it? I think if they did another 6, my lineup would be Ghostface, Leatherface, Jigsaw. I would put Pennywise. I think Pennywise is at the point where you can put Pennywise in there. There's enough merch out there, and there's, you know, just it's Pennywise is a character, just has been, is big enough where, you know, you could have a 45-minute special of people talking about the origin story and the rise of Pennywise. So that's Pennywise. So that's 4. He said, Victor Crowley, but that's for the true horror heads. Victor Crowley is not someone that if you're not a horror fan, like, you're probably not going to recognize Victor Crowley. So that one's iffy. So instead of Victor Crowley, I'm going to go ahead. You know what? I'm going to... No, I can't say... Nah. So, like, there's some... After that, it does get very iffy. He made a very good point. Anything beyond those 4, in my opinion, is a stretch. So some potentials. Because we only have two more spots to fill. So here's some potentials, honorable mentions, whatever you want to call it. I would throw Leprechaun in there. Leprechaun. Because Leprechaun did have a franchise. Now, obviously not as big as the others, especially merchandise-wise, ticket sales, all that stuff. But you throw Leprechaun in there because had a great run. The Creeper from Jeepers Creepers. 4 Jeepers Creepers movies, 2 of them good. I have not seen the most recent one, although I'm hearing bad things. Reborn, I'm hearing bad things. I know the 3rd one was absolute dog shit. It was just a bag of trash that they put onto film, in my opinion. 1 and 2, though, really enjoyed them. But again, don't know if there's enough with that one either, which is a bummer. So now, Tall Man. from Phantasm. I think Tall Man from Phantasm, I think that could, like, I feel like that one could happen. I think Tall Man's one of the creepiest characters out there, honestly. First time I saw Phantasm, I was genuinely creeped out. And it was because of him. Also, the piano riff was very good. That doo-doo, I can't do it. Maybe, you know, there's probably copyright issues and whatnot. I don't want to fuck with all that. So Tall Man is a possibility. I think, The Dead? Like, from Evil Dead? That one's a big stretch. Because how do you... That's not technically just one person. It's a force. And so if you're doing that, you know, it's... I just, like I said, I just kind of threw that one out there. That one's just... That's probably not going to happen. So we got four for sure, though. Ghostface, Leatherface, Jigsaw, and Pennywise. Maybe the Fisherman from I Know What You Did Last Summer. There are enough of those. Obviously, those, though, you know, they weren't... ultimately, obviously, they're not as big as those other franchises. Although I Know What You Did Last Summer got a show that just got done recently. I haven't watched it. It looked awful. But movies were fun. What are you waiting for? Right? Everyone remembers that. I think they let some kid direct that part. Like, he won some contest, and they were like, you could direct a scene in the movie. And so he directed that scene, and that's arguably, like, the most memorable scene. Jennifer Love Hewitt just shouting in the middle of the street. Just saying. I don't know. There's a bunch of options. Just kidding. No, there's not. I don't know why I said that. There's not a lot of good options. You know what? Art the Clown might get there. Art the Clown has had a meteoric rise, in my opinion. Recently, Terrifier. Terrifier 1, I saw years ago. I loved it. I was like, this is a fun, like, campy horror movie. Terrifier 2 comes out, and all of a sudden, it's boom. It's like everyone's posting about Art the Clown. Art. I see on all these horror pages, and I just think, I don't know if he has enough yet. Apparently, he's been in some other stuff. There's Terrifier 1, there's Terrifier 2, and then he's been in some other kind of shorter films, but there's a Terrifier 3 on the way, so he may get there soon enough. Megan, there's a second Megan coming out, so maybe that is a thing. I don't know. Maybe they're waiting. You know, waiting to see how those two turn out, Megan and Terrifier, because they'll have them in there. But outside of that, I don't know. I'm sure I'll think of some right when I stop recording, and then I'll be like, oh, I should have said that. And then it's like, publish episode. It's like, no, fuck, it's good, you know. But anyway. All right. Well, I'm going to stop rambling, because if Brian listens to this, he's going to probably hear this part and be like, oh, my God, how did I talk with that guy for 40 minutes? He's such a moron. And I'm just going to be like, yeah, you're not wrong, Brian. You're not wrong. So it's, you know, some things you just have to accept. All right. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Going to have George Medina on next up. That's our next guest. Just going to keep firing these episodes at you. I don't give a fuck if you're ready or not. Ready or not, here I come with another episode of Feel Good Friday. Pew, pew, pew. That's what it's going to be like. So, if you're ready, like, stay ready? Damn it. I was on a roll right there, and then I just tripped up again. I don't know why I'm having trouble with words right now. Trying to sound cool. It's not easy to sound cool when you're, you know, not. So, wise words from a guy who's not cool. Just FYI. So, going to have George Medina on. That should be a fun episode. Probably going to talk a lot about movies, and who knows what else we're going to end up on. Maybe we'll learn some new things about each other. Does George like sports? I don't know. Gonna find out tomorrow. But this episode was all Brian Collins. This episode was horror, you know, overload, but not overload. I think it was, damn, I was just about to say it was a perfect load. Caught myself, but then I said it anyway. Fuck. All right. Brian Collins, thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed talking to you. Hope you guys enjoyed listening to him. Go follow him on Instagram. Check out his books. He's got a couple books out. He's got some articles that you could look up. Fangoria, he had an article about My Bloody Valentine, which he actually posted about My Bloody Valentine on his Instagram. So I know about that through that. So just show him something, you know, support him because he's awesome. Support me because I'm awesome. Support yourself, you know, because you're awesome. Just all a bunch of awesome fuckers, aren't we? Well, me and Brian are. I don't know about you. All right. Love you all.